You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, anyway, y'all ready for the Word this morning?
Amen.
I'll share with you a little bit. We've already heard a great sermon. It'll take you a week to assimilate that, you know, put all that together, but... Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 12. We're going to go there. I'll get you out here in about 30 minutes. We'll preach a little bit. I want to minister to you. I want to bless you. I want to lift you. I want to help you. You know, I want to stir you. I want to challenge you. I want to charge you. You know, you ought to come to church to be charged, to be challenged, to be changed. Sure, we need to get healed up, and church is a healing place. It's a place of deliverance and help and hope and a place where you can be encouraged. But it's also a place where you get your marching orders. It's a place where you find out what you're here for, what you're supposed to be doing, amen? And a place of correction. Nothing wrong with correction. Correction's a good thing. I want to be corrected if I'm wrong. I want to adjust and make adjustments. And if we don't get around each other, that's not going to happen. If you stay off to yourself and you just hang around people that, you know, mimic and copy and approve of and do the same things you do, then you're never going to improve. I think that's why God makes families. You can pick your friends. You're stuck with your relatives. And you grow from your relatives. You grow from being around people of different, they have different hobbies. They have different personalities. Churches like that. It's made up of all kinds of people. In this building right here, we have all kinds of personalities, all kinds of interests, all kinds of ages and occupations and sizes and colors, as it were. Are you with me? But we need that. We need that. Are you with me? Because nobody's complete. Only Jesus is complete. And we're all complete in Him. And we are all the body, but none of us are the body as an individual. We're just a part of the body. And that's good. That's what, you know, we were made to hang out. We're not made as lone rangers. We are made to fellowship. We are made to get together. And the best fellowship, the most godly fellowship, is Christian fellowship. We need to come to church. We need church. I need to come here every week. I need to get around you. I see things in you sometimes that I wish I had, that I need to work on. Are you with me? That's a good thing. We need role models. We need examples. Hello? I mean, you ever been around somebody, you go, oh man, I wish I was more like that. And it challenges you to do that. In fact, role models do that. You want to be like role models. You want to be like people that you look up to. Well, if we're not around anybody, and if we think we're already complete, and we don't need help, and we can't change, we can't get better, then we're going to stay right where we are. And that would be a sad, sad thing. We need to move on up. And every one of us need to change. Ultimately, of course, Jesus is our model. You know, ultimately, He is the example that we go by. And it's Jesus in each of us that we should copy. I see people that are real calm and laid back. You know, I'm a little bit hyper. And I think, man, I wish I was more like that. And it challenges me. Makes me want to work on it, you know. I see people, you know, that I won't go with all my faults. You've got some yourself. See people in areas that I need to improve on. I think, man, I wish I was more like that. And it challenges me to raise the bar. It challenges me to step up. You know, Proverbs says the countenance of a friend, iron sharpens iron, and the countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. It keeps us sharp. We sharpen up when we get around each other. The more we hang out with God's people, the more we get into God's Word, the more we find out what Jesus is like, it sharpens us. It challenges us. That's a good thing. You know, sometimes you get around people that are not doing right, and it'll dull the blade. It won't sharpen you. It'll dull you. Be careful. You're not dumbing down. Hello. We want to smarten up. You know, I have a good friend, Jason, that lives in the Houston area. Years ago, he's transferred to another state up north, which will remain unnamed. But he went up to the state up north, and they were picking at him, you know, about his, he said something about not being too smart or something. They were saying, yeah, it must be the way Texans are. And he said, no, he said, you know, I graduated like 350 in my class, and there was 360 people. He said, but I did graduate. And he said, tell you the truth, when I moved up here to this state, the IQ went up in both states. So anyway... Now, you got to think about that one. But anyway, let's sharpen up. Let's don't dumb down. Amen? Okay, Romans 12. Found it?
Amen.
Romans 12, verse 1, very familiar verse here. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable to serve God. It is just common sense and logical that you would turn your life over to God and live for Him. Amen? It's unreasonable for you not to live for God. It is not reasonable, nor is it logical, that you would not give your Creator, the Maker, and ultimately, if you're born again, your Father, His due. It's just reasonable, and it makes good sense that you would serve God. And I think I always like to bring out here, too, when I read that, is we're always thinking about whether we would die for Jesus or, you know, a lot of people have done that. What would it do if it came down to that? Would you give your life for Jesus? You know, would you die for Him? And I don't know what would happen in those circumstances. You don't, I don't, we don't. But that's not what He's asking us. He's not asking us to die for Him. He's asking us to live for Him. He's asking us to live for Him. That's something we can all do. Amen? And that's something we should all do. I'm you know, touched by those stories of martyrs and people even today that are killed for their faith around the world. We don't face that here in the United States. But I tell you, we face another challenge. We face the challenge of whether we're going to live for Him or not. Whether we're going to stand up and be counted, whether we're going to join the service, you know, the army of the Lord, a service. You know, when you're in the military, you're in the service. We call it the military service. We serve in that respect. Well, we're in the service of the Lord, amen? Amen. And it is reasonable that we serve Him. It is our reasonable service that we love people, that we forgive people, that we walk holy, that we witness, that we shine our light, hallelujah, that we stand up and be counted and shine our lights in a dark world. This world is getting darker and darker and darker. And there's never been a time in our history where we need people, men and women, who will stand up for Jesus and be counted. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's just reasonable that you'd do that. And the good news is you can do it. That's the good news. This is not some impossible task. God doesn't ask you to do something that He hasn't given you the ability to do. You might say, well, I'm just not a strong Christian. No, that's a lie. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have God on the inside of you. He'll help you serve Him. He'll help you overcome sin if that's a problem. If you're facing a sin, He'll help you overcome it. He never asks you to do anything that He hasn't given you provision to do or the ability to do. He does not give vision without provision. Hello. He doesn't do it. He already put it inside of you. It's in you as a Christian, as a believer, in His Word, in Christ. Now, you might have to dig a little. You might have to pray. You might have to, you know, work on it. But it's there. You can make it. Hallelujah. You have the ability to make it. You have the ability to go over, not under, to be that man and be that woman of God God called you to be, to serve Him. Hallelujah. I want to serve Him. I mean, I'm eternally indebted to Him. I mean, you ever had somebody do something for you and you just for the rest of your life, you're just indebted? You know, we've hear of people giving their lives for someone, and then those families are molded together because of someone in that family that gave their life. Or maybe someone donates an organ. I know Travis's case, Heather donated an organ. There's going to be forever a bond there between that family because of that donation, because of that gift, that sacrifice. You know, I always heard it this way: if you want people to go up, you got to give up for them to go up. There's something you've got to give up for people to go up. Something you've got to sacrifice to help people. But see, that sacrifice will always come back and bless you. Always. It always will. It has rewards. Now, look at what God has done for us. Look at it in that perspective. What has He given up? His Son. So it's just reasonable that we'd serve Him. It's just reasonable that we would give Him our lives, our short life here on this earth. It doesn't last long. You got one shot at this deal. Heaven's high, hell is hot, and life is short. We got one shot. But it'll give it to Jesus and live for Jesus. There's a suffering, sighing, dying world out there. There's a hurting, suffering humanity out there. People that are in desperate need, desperate straits, that need someone that'll be a witness and be a light and that'll stand up and be counted. I think of David. You know, everybody was running from Goliath. The Bible says Goliath walked out in that valley in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter is where that is. He walked out in that valley 40 days. Every morning, every night, 80 times, they get the battle ready to go. The Israelites on one side, the Philistines on the other, and here comes Goliath. Goliath of Gath, the giant. Over 9 foot by conservative estimates. Some estimates say he was over 13 feet. But if a cubit was a foot and a half on the small end, then he was at least 9 foot, 9 foot nine, I believe is what it was. And he stood out in the valley and he challenged Israel. And you know, every one of the Israelites ran back up the hill. He'd do that in the morning, he'd do that in the evening, he did that for 40 days. Here comes David. You know, he sees that. He hasn't been challenged 40 times, 40 days, 80 times. He hasn't heard that doubt and unbelief over and over and over and over and over. He's been meditating in the Word. He's been out writing psalms and killing lions and bears. Seeing the power of God. He comes out there with the anointing on him. He'd been anointed in the 16th chapter to be king. But anyway, he hears that. And my goodness, it's no big deal to him. He goes in and tells Saul. He says, don't anybody worry about that guy. I'll go out and fight him. And he's just a teenager. In fact, he's just probably 15, 16, 17, you know. He's got his sandals on. He's got his sling. Shepherd bag. Smells like cheese. He just brought cheese to his, you know. Well, go read the story. It's there. Now, I'm not telling you like my son did a while ago. This really happened. And so he goes out. He didn't even, you know, Saul just can't believe it. He tries to talk him out of it. And David just rehearses all his victories. That's what we need to do when tragedy comes. Rehearse your victories. Amen? And finally, he just goes out there. Saul even tries to put his own armor on him. He says, no. I hadn't proven that. Hallelujah. And he walks out there as the old country western song, just a slinging. Something like that. I don't know. I'm not a country western fan, but anyway. He walks out there and he just kills that giant, walks up, runs to him, kills the giant, runs up to him, cuts his head off, and I'm sure he held his head up. I mean, because that's what they did back then. You know what the Bible says? The whole army of Israel came off. All of a sudden, now they are ready. It's on. Hello. I mean, they're scared for 40 days, and now they see a hero. They see a role model. They see someone who stood up and was counted, someone who had a victory, someone who wasn't ashamed, someone who called on God and actually lived for God and had a victory. Yes. And I mean, it's on. They all came off that hill, all came off that mountain. They all ran and they defeated the armies of the Philistine that day. It was a great victory, but it started with someone who stood up. It started with someone who was an example. And, of course, the Bible's filled with that. I mean, it's just filled with stories like that. Well, see, you may not realize it, and you may not be thinking too highly of yourself from time to time. You may not see the value in yourself, but you are a someone to somebody. You are a role model to someone. Just by virtue of being here, you affect some people's lives. Some people are looking at you. And I'm telling you what, you stand up for Jesus. You stand up when everybody else gives in. They see that. And you know what? It will embolden them to do the right thing. You be peer pressure. Don't give in to it. You be peer pressure. I like to say it that way. I'm peer pressure. I am purposely peer pressure. There are certain ways I'm going to live and certain ways I am not going to live. And I'm not mean about it. I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings, but I want to be that witness. I want to be that example. I want to be that role model. I want to bring those people off that hill, down into the valley, and let's win some victories. Amen. And you got to do that in school. You got to do it on your job. You got to, I mean, come on, it never stops. It was like that little girl. You know, she's a teenage girl, and she's talking to her dad about all of her. You know, she's having trouble with her friends and had this test coming up and everything. And he kept saying, honey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be fine. And she says, yeah, Dad, you can say that. You've already gone through all your problems. No. It just was part of life. Are you with me? You got challenges all your life. You got peer pressure all your life. Even me, as a pastor, I have opportunities to give in. Yeah, just to not make a stand. Are you with me? But you know, I never win when I do that. Never win. You never win. Whatever you compromise to keep, you'll lose. Hello. So we got a challenge here. Amen. Man, I don't want to just bring a downer on you here. I'm not trying to condemn or judge or be too hard on you. But, I mean, we need to hear this. This is a good message because we can do this. See, that's the good news. Don't you buy the lie. The devil will tell you you don't count. You can't do this. You're just not important. That's a lie. You have great value in the eyes of God. God loves you. He's for you. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. My goodness. He's walking around in you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? which you have of God, and you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, you belong to God. You're God's property. Amen. You can do it. Hallelujah. You can love. You can forgive. You can. You know, who wants to live your life hating anyway? Who wants to live their life being bitter? Anybody ever been offended? Oh, sure. Anybody ever been hurt? Man, I'm so hurt. I'm just hurt. Well, we all been hurt. Now, I'm not trying to demean that. You live life, you're going to get hurt and you get offended. But you know what you need to do? Do like Paul did that snake. Shake it off! You need to shake it off. Amen? You got to shake it off, because what it'll do, it'll be like a snake. When a snake gets a hold of you, he puts poison in you. And the more, of course, you know the story, the more poison it gets in you, the more you get puffed up. And everybody around here can see you're puffed up. You know why? Because you haven't shook it off yet. I mean, some offenses happen. Instead of shaking it off, you just left it there. Instead of, you know, praying about it and forgiving and getting over it. I mean, come on, get over it. We got over it a long time ago. I heard it said like this, get over yourself. We got over you a whole long time ago. But anyway, you got to shake it off, because it'll just, that bitterness will just rise up in you. What he says here in the second verse, the verse I want to get to. Now for my starting verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you would like to prove in your life the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? Yes. What's the way to do it? You have to renew your mind, and you have to not be conformed to this world, but you have to be transformed. Amen. Now, you got a choice in life. You can be like the world, or you can be like Jesus. Yeah, you can conform to the world, or you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform is real simple. It just means to change to another form. Just change another form. You know, in England, you know, the Brits would say if something was done right, oh, good form, jolly good form there. Or that was bad form. What they did was bad form, you know. The way they handled that, it had no decorum about it. You know, it wasn't done properly. And if it was done right, it was good form. If it was done wrong, it was bad form. Well, you know, if you want to change into another form, okay, you want to change into something, another way of doing things. That's what transformation is. You don't face things the way you used to face them. You don't look at them the way you used to look at them. You're not affected by them the way you used to be affected by them, because you're not conformed to the world. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, they got that movie that came out with Transformers. I haven't seen it, but you know. It's where all these cars transform into something else, and a plane transform, helicopter transforms into something. Well, I mean, you don't have to watch the movie, but you kind of get the idea. What you see, there's something else inside there than what you see. Something greater inside there. Well, you and I have something greater inside of us than what a lot of people see. Well, now God's waiting for us to bring it out so people can see it. He's waiting for us to transform. You know, you walk out here just normal guy, normal Christian as it were, and then you transform into forgiving man, loving man, hold no offense man. Are you with me? See, you can do that. It's in you. You just hadn't pushed the right buttons. You hadn't transformed yet. But you can transform. You say, what do I do to do that? Well, you get in the Word of God. You renew your mind. You start thinking differently. You start seeing what God says about your situation, your family, your job, your children, whatever the case may be. And then you transform. Now, you transform into something that's already in you. It's there. You just hadn't brought it out yet. See, that's what I start out saying. You can do this. It's in you. God has never given us a vision that He can get us provision to carry out. And so you can live this life. You say, well, it's so hard. Yeah, but you know what? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Amen. We're not talking about doing this by ourselves. We're talking about doing this with God. I always like to say this. God will help you to live for Him. He'll help you to be like Jesus. He'll help you to love. He'll help you to forgive. He'll help you serve God. Now, He won't help you do anything else. And if you want to go hate and you want to disobey God, you are on your own. But you have never been on your own when it comes to serving God. God has always been there to help you serve Him. He'll help you become like Jesus. He'll help you be a witness. He'll help you do that. You're never alone when it comes to that. You're only alone when you want to sin. That's when God takes His hands off. That's when you go your own way. That's when you say, "My will be done, not yours." When you come to God and want to serve Him, you say, "Thy will be done, not mine." Then He comes in and He helps you. So He'll help you love if you'll make the decision. May not feel like it. He'll help you forgive if you'll make the decision. You may not feel like it. He'll help you live right, live holy if you'll make the decision. You may not feel like it, but He'll help you. Oh, I love that. Praise God. So He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Turn to Romans 15. I love this. See, what you do, if that's the case, if you just find out what God says, find out what His will is, get in His Word and get His Word in you, if that's how it happens, would you admit that's what He says? Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by, or this way, this is how it happens, by the renewing of your mind. Ooh, I like that. So we're taking in information so we can transform. Right? We're hearing so we can do it. The end of all knowledge is action. Isn't that the case? I mean, we're hearing things so we can do things. We're not hearing so we not do. We're hearing so we can do them. The man that built his house on the rock was the man that heard Jesus' sayings and did them. And James says, in James 1:22, he says, "Be not hearers of the word, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self." So we're hearing all this so we can transform. So we can bring out what's in us. So what we see on the outside is not the final picture, not the final say-so, not the final word. What we feel on the outside is not going to determine my destiny. I'm going to get in the Word and find out what God says, and I'm going to transform. That Greek word is metamorpho. We get to morph, you know, metamorph. Well, you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Transform. Romans 15. In fact, when Jesus was transfigured, remember when He was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, the word transfigure is the same word. He was transfigured before them. He was transformed before them. Wow. Changed. Glistened like the sun. A change took place. Well, God's wanting to make a change in your life. He's wanting to bring out of you what He put inside of you. He has put something great inside of you. And just like a plant, it's got to grow. It comes little by little, but I tell you, if you'll water it and you'll nurture it, it will grow. And you'll start looking different. You'll start acting different. You'll start thinking different. The way you water it is by getting in the Word, meditating on the Word, coming to church, rubbing shoulders with brothers and sisters, rubbing off some rough edges, amen, and getting challenged and getting sharpened. You know, but there's so much more God has in store for you than you could ever dream or imagine. There's so much more God wants you to be. You know, the old army bulletins, "Be all you can be." Well, I tell you, you can't be all you can be till you get in the Word and get in Jesus and start serving Him. And loving people is being all you can be. Forgiving is being all you can be. Shining your light is being all you can be. Woo. I mean, who wants to settle for mediocrity? God, deliver me from mediocrity. Well, we're okay, you know. Well, no, we're not okay. We can do better. We can do more. I mean, yeah, I'm saved and going to heaven. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God He loves me. Thank God He's for me. Thank God He's patient, long-suffering with me. But you know what? I want to get better. I want to do better. I want to do more. Okay, so he says here in Romans 15, here's the example. Here's the role model. This is better than David and the children of Israel coming off the hill, the mountain to fight the Philistines. 7th verse says, "Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Who's our role model? Who we're trying to be like? Jesus. You're about to say, "As Christ." Okay, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to transform. We're going to renew our mind with the Word of God. We're going to find out who to really be like. Instead of everybody else, we're going to be like Jesus. Hello? It's a concentrated effort. It's a focus. It's a discipline. It's a commitment on our part. We're going to start changing our lives and start molding our lives to be like Him. Transformers, robots in disguise, something like that. Isn't that the way Now, the older generation didn't get that, but anyway, you know, I've got kids and grandkids, so I've seen all the cartoons. But anyway, we are Transformers, Jesus in disguise. We can bring out Jesus. As he received people, we can receive people. In fact, I preached one time just a sermon called As Christ, and I went through the scriptures where it says, as he did this, we ought to do, as he did this, we ought to do this. Well, one thing we can transform is the way we receive people. We sure do that as a church, but we can do it as individuals also. I think churches should receive everybody that comes. Amen. You know, and I've said it many times, but it's just appalling when you think about it. I know it's the world we live in, and I'm not mad and upset about it and radical and angry at the world. And no, I'm just saying I see some need. I see something we can get better at, you know. I mean, this life and here in Texas for sure, in a lot of these towns, we got a white church, we got a black church, we got a Hispanic church. Hello. Then we got all kinds of user-friendly churches, you know, or specific type churches, you know, where it's just a specific type people that go to that church. We got Starbucks church, just people who bring Starbucks coffee and come to this church. Hello. Man, I love Starbucks coffee. Stay with me now. I'm for Starbucks. I'd like to have one out there in the foyer, and we will eventually get some. I'm believing for that. Maybe in our new building we'll have a big, you know, we can have espresso and all that, you know, people go. But you know, why would we want a just specific church? Oh, we got a young church. Oh, we got an old church. We got an in-between church. Or we got a rich church. Or we got a middle-class church. Or we just bring in drug addicts in our church. Or we just have doctors and lawyers in our church. Or, oh, come on, man. You know, your church ought to be everybody. It ought to be black, white, low class, high class, a lot of money, little money, you know, everybody. Come on. We don't want to be, I don't ever want to be a specific type church of any kind whatsoever. I want to be a church where people can be loved. I want to receive them as Christ received them. So a church should be a place where anybody can come, whatever they've been, whatever they've come out of, and know that God accepts them, that they are accepted in the Beloved, and this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Not accept their sin. If they want to repent, we'll bring them in. If they want to change their life, we'll bring them in. We're not saying come in and continue to sin. No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, homosexuality, I believe it's a sin. Adultery is a sin. I believe these are sins, and they're wrong. And if you repent of them, we will receive you. If you want to change your life, come on. But we don't care that you have done it. You got it? You see the balance? I don't care that you have done it. Well, you know what they did. Well, no, I don't. And I don't know what you did. And you don't know what I did. And it doesn't matter. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And we ought to receive people as Christ received them. See, that's a transformation. That's a new way of doing things. Are you with me? Oh, man. I'm not going to get through with this. Let me go to one more scripture. Colossians 3. My son took up all the time with his sermon. Just think about it. You've gotten two sermons today. I would encourage you, it's not arrogant on my part, but pay more attention to this one than that last one you heard. If you're listening to my tape, it was just a spoof that my son put on, so I'm not saying anything against my son's sermons. All right. Well, you never know. People listen to tapes. Why? He just dissed his son right there in front of everybody. What's the deal here? No. Okay, Colossians 3, notice this. Therefore, 12th verse, Colossians 3, 12, we'll close out with this. Therefore, as the elect of God, did you know you're elect? You've been elected. You've been chosen. Yeah, it's great to be chosen. I love that. I'd like to just preach on that. I don't have time, but, you know, everybody wants to be a chosen, you know. You know, especially on a baseball team, you know, when you're playing, you're little kids, and you're always the last one to get chosen or the one that doesn't get chosen. You know how that feels. But see, God chooses every one of us. We're elected by Him. He loves us. I don't care what anybody says about you. God loves you, and He's for you. I don't care if you don't have any friends. You got some in Jesus. Jesus is your friend, and you got some here. We love you, and we're for you. And it says here, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, you are loved, praise God. Put on. Everybody say, put on. Put on. See, you ought to put this. You say, well, I'd be a put on. Well, that's what God said to do. He said, put it on. Those people doing all that, they're just putting on. That's right. We're putting it on. But the more we put it on, the more we become that thing. It says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Who's our role model? Jesus. Who are we transforming into here? Jesus. Hallelujah. He's our example. And we want to be like Him. And that's part of transforming. That's not conforming to the world. That's being transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is what Jesus said to do. You ought to look at everybody through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody has value when you look at it that way. Everybody counts when you look at it that way. But you don't know what they did. They did this. They did that. Well, did Jesus die for them? I guess He thought they were worth something. Did you ever do anything? Ever do anything wrong? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever done just the dumbest thing? Wish you could take it all back. Oh, come on. You've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. If someone is willing to give it a shot, if someone's willing to come to Jesus, if someone's willing to cry out and repent, I am going to receive them. Amen? Yeah. Amen? And you should too.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's transforming. That's not conforming, because the world doesn't do that. Three strike, you're out, you know. But with God, you got a million chances. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come cheap, but it can be done. And if you'll commit yourself to it, and we're going to have to just close the message out here, you can be transformed. You can be changed. Hallelujah. You can become another person, another man, another woman, by following Jesus' example.